What a great day at Target Field. History for Jose Miranda. Ties the all-time Major League record with 12 consecutive hits. Of course, in the middle of it, he got hit by a pitch, and there was a lot of outrage, but it's not an official AB. So reaches safely in 12 consecutive. That's a great story. And how about Brooks Lee, since getting called up to the major leagues, hit the home run today. He's hitting .467 to get started in his major league career, and this lineup is clicking, and they got a good start from Joe Ryan, and they cruise to a 9-3 victory today at Target Field. The line on Ryan, 5 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs. All of those earned, 8 strikeouts and a walk, gave up the home run. His ERA, 3.29. Now, all the modern stat geeks, I don't think they pay much attention to it, but I still think ERA matters, just my opinion. And I would say at this point in the season, as we close in on the All-Star break, Joe Ryan is the ace. Pablo Lopez was the opening day starter and was anointed the ace role coming out of spring training. But I would say body of work. I don't know how you feel about it, Josh Wheeler, but I think it's fair to say Ryan's now the ace. He's the go-to guy. Bailey Ober has also been good. Dare I say that maybe Pablo has fallen down into the three hole in the pecking order of the starting rotation. And if this team does make the playoffs, and I know it's a long way off, it's still early July, but I'd probably go Ryan Ober.
Yeah.
In the first two games of the playoffs.
This has been a very on Pablo like year far, unfortunately.
No doubt.
If you'd have told me back in April that Pablo was going to be above 5 in the ERA category, I would probably not have believed you. I would have probably put my money on Joe Ryan of all people to have that, because it just strictly based on what we saw last year in the postseason from him, some of his later stuff wasn't necessarily great. But here we are. You kind of hit the nail right on the head, and the stats don't lie either. When you look at the ERA between these three pitchers, Joe Ryan's number one, Bailey Ober is number two, and Pablo's sitting right there at 3, 8-7 record, 5.18 ERA, and it speaks for itself. Yeah, well, you got the strikeouts in there. He's second in strikeouts. Okay, cool. But this is not Pablo. This is not the same Pablo we're used to.
And I think we're getting to the point where, in some ways, you might trust Simeon Woods Richardson more over Pablo Lopez.
Yeah, Simeon's
at this point.
Simeon's been a bright spot in this season. I've called it more of the underrated story. One of the more underrated stories of this season with this twin squad is the development day and night that we've seen from Simeon Woods Richardson. Yeah, he's had a couple bumps in the road along the way, but he's a young kid. Who's not going to experience that at some point? He's been a phenomenal addition to this rotation, and still comes down to this team just needing another, maybe one more starter, but for sure needing more depth in the bullpen. But when it comes to starting pitching, I think we've got a pretty good corral of people so far.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be the decision. But with this lineup, and remember, Royce Lewis is on the injured list again, and I know to say this almost makes me cringe. When healthy, you add him to the way this lineup is shaping up, because coming out of spring training, remember, the thought was healthy Byron Buxton, healthy Carlos Correa, Royce White, and then you had Max Kepler, particularly the Kepler we saw the second half in 23. I don't think anybody predicted what Jose Miranda was going to do since coming back from AAA and going on a historic 12-game streak that ultimately ended today with a fly ball to left and got a standing O at Target Field. Cool moment, cool run for Jose Miranda. Now you've got this lineup that, hey, they are potent, and this was a lineup that struggled. But now as you have everybody healthy, at some point you would think Royce will be back in the mix post-All-Star break. And then things really get interesting. And then I think for the Twins going forward, and Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, about what do you do to add? And I said it on Final Pitch last night after the 13-12 loss. There is no doubt the lineup has proven that they can compete. But you need more pitching. And the argument would be, they could have added more pitching before the start of the year, and they didn't. And they stood pat, so to speak. And now you've got every contending club in the same boat by the end of July looking for more starting pitching and more bullpen help. And the price is high. But you feel like the Twins are going to be taken seriously come postseason time. They need to add. They need to add pitching. They need to add a frontline starter if they're going to get where they want to go in the postseason.
You're forgetting something, though, Steve.
Yeah.
There's two pieces to this puzzle. One you've clearly pointed out as far as needing pitching. Cleveland needs to start losing. They had a bit of a skid last week, but they've kind of picked up their pieces. And we've even seen the almighty New York Yankees just have an awful summer so far, at least in the last 10, 15 games.
They finally hit a bump.
Yeah, they snapped their skid as well. But the one constant through just what's been a pretty solid year. Like, I honestly am surprised at how well this year has gone for the Twins. Cleveland just can't seem to lose. And unfortunately, when we have a chance to kind of take advantage of them losing a game, which happened a couple times this past week, we drop just these blunder games against teams like Detroit, where Cleveland's losing, but you need to capitalize that and actually beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And I know that's a theme with this team. It's a Minnesota Twins way of life to not beat the teams that, you know, that you're supposed to beat. But yeah, there's two pieces to this. There's pitching, and there's Cleveland needs to somehow, some way, find a way to lose. If that means us taking them down in the upcoming, I don't even know what the schedule is. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm assuming we still have another series or two with them before the end of before this is all said and done. You need to win as many of those, if not all those, as possible.
Well, and what's so crazy about it, you make a great point. It seems as though the Twins have been in that 6-7 game out mode for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Go back 1 month, Thursday, June 6th, Cleveland led Kansas City by 4, and the Twins were 7.5 out. At the moment, they're 5.5 back. Twins won the ball game today, 9-3 over Houston. And Cleveland leading San Francisco 4-3 right now in the fifth. That game in Cleveland. And, of course, the Twins will see the Giants in San Francisco in the final series next weekend before the All-Star break. But it does illustrate a point that the Twins have been, you know, in that 6-7 games out for a long time and can't gain ground. And the only thing you can do is keep winning ball games like you did today, and then go out tomorrow and win another series, and then go into Chicago, hopefully take care of business against a dreadful White Sox team, and then go into San Francisco and close it out against the Giants next weekend. And then it is the All-Star break, and then the Brewers here coming out of the break leading the NL Central Division. 12 minutes now in front of 5 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Awful news in the NFL. Awful news for the Minnesota Vikings. Overnight, early this morning, Vikings rookie cornerback Kyree Jackson was among three people killed in a car wreck. And we'll have more on that terrible story in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. We were greeted by terrible news this morning. Viking rookie cornerback Kyree Jackson died in a three-car wreck that killed two of his high school teammates early this morning in Maryland. He was 24 years old. Riding in a car just after 3 a.m. in the passenger seat, apparently got hit by a vehicle that was speeding and knocked the car that Tyree Jackson was riding in off the road, and he was declared dead at the scene. We visit with Dane Mizutani, who covers the Vikings for the Pioneer Press, before the ball game today, following the news and weather at noon. And it's just tragic. The Vikings have released statements. The investigation continues by the authorities in Maryland. But just an awful tragedy. In a few weeks, he was due to be here for the start of training camp at TCO Performance Center and begin his journey as a professional athlete. And this is a guy who really paid his dues on his way to being drafted into the NFL and have an opportunity to make the big bucks. A lot of community colleges, a lot of stops along the way, Alabama, then Oregon, and got his name on the map. And by all accounts, terrific young man, and gone way too soon. 24 years old. Because there was someone out of control on our roads. It's just hard to fathom. And you spend time on the roads as well here in the Twin Cities. And I know law enforcement is doing what they can. But there are way too many people who drive way too fast and way too recklessly. Wednesday night, for example, we drove down to St. Paul, went to Mancini's for my birthday. I'm not going to mention which one. Doesn't matter at this point. But on the way home, we took 94 from St. Paul over to Minneapolis, through the tunnel, and then took I-94 out of downtown, headed to the northern suburbs where I live. There was someone in a pickup truck who had to be driving 110 miles an hour on 94 between downtown and 694, weaving in and out of traffic. It was astonishing how fast this idiot was driving. Now, was this driver on something? Don't know. But the reckless behavior, whether it's impaired driving and speeders, another tragedy in Maryland, claims the life of Viking rookie cornerback Tyree Jackson. We have more at our website, WCCRadio.com. Slow down, wear your seatbelts. Terrible news. We have the news and the weather coming up at 5. Here on the CCO. What a great day at Target Field. History for Jose Miranda. Ties the all-time Major League record with 12 consecutive hits. Of course, in the middle of it, he got hit by a pitch, and there was a lot of outrage, but it's not an official AB. So, reaches safely in 12 consecutive. That's a great story. And how about Brooks Lee, since getting called up to the major leagues, hit the home run today. He's hitting .467 to get started in his major league career, and this lineup is clicking, and they got a good start from Joe Ryan, and they cruise to a 9-3 victory today at Target Field. The line on Ryan, 5 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs. All of those earned, 8 strikeouts and a walk, gave up the home run. His ERA, 3.29. Now, all the modern stat geeks, I don't think they pay much attention to it, but I still think ERA matters, just my opinion. And I would say at this point in the season, as we close in on the All-Star break, Joe Ryan is the ace. Pablo Lopez was the opening day starter and was anointed the ace role coming out of spring training. But I would say body of work. I don't know how you feel about it, Josh Wheeler, but I think it's fair to say Ryan's now the ace. He's the go-to guy. Bailey Ober has also been good. Dare I say that maybe Pablo has fallen down into the three hole in the pecking order of the starting rotation. And if this team does make the playoffs, and I know it's a long way off, it's still early July, but I'd probably go Ryan Ober.
Yeah.
In the first two games of the playoffs.
This has been a very on Pablo like year so far, unfortunately.
No doubt.
If you'd have told me back in April that Pablo was going to be above five in the ERA category, I would probably not have, probably wouldn't have believed you. I would have probably put my money on Joe Ryan of all people to have that, because it just strictly based on what we saw last year in the postseason from him, some of his later stuff wasn't necessarily great, but here we are. You kind of hit the nail right on the head, and the stats don't lie either. When you look at the ERA between these three pitchers, Joe Ryan's number one, Bailey Ober is number two, and Pablo's sitting right there at three, 8-7 record, 5.18 ERA, and it speaks for itself. Yeah, well, you got the strikeouts in there. He's second in strikeouts. Okay, cool. But this is not Pablo. This is not the same Pablo we're used to.
And I think we're getting to the point where, in some ways, you might trust Simeon Woods Richardson more over Pablo Lopez.
Yeah, Simeon's
at this point.
Simeon's been a bright spot in this season. I've called it more of the underrated story. One of the more underrated stories of this season with this twin squad is the development day and night that we've seen from Simeon Woods Richardson. Yeah, he's had a couple bumps in the road along the way, but he's a young kid. Who's not going to experience that at some point? He's been a phenomenal addition to this rotation, and still comes down to this team just needing another, maybe one more starter, but for sure needing more depth in the bullpen. But when it comes to starting pitching, I think we've got a pretty good corral of people so far.
Yeah. And I think that's got to be the decision. But with this lineup, and remember, Royce Lewis is on the injured list again. And I know to say this almost makes me cringe. When healthy, you add him to the way this lineup is shaping up, because coming out of spring training, remember, the thought was healthy Byron Buxton, healthy Carlos Correa, Royce White, and then you had Max Kepler, particularly the Kepler we saw the second half in 23. I don't think anybody predicted what Jose Miranda was going to do since coming back from AAA and going on a historic 12-game streak that ultimately ended today with a fly ball to left and got a standing O at Target Field. Cool moment, cool run for Jose Miranda. Now you've got this lineup that, hey, they are potent, and this was a lineup that struggled. But now, as you have everybody healthy, at some point you would think Royce will be back in the mix post All-Star break, and then things really get interesting. And then I think for the Twins going forward, and Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, about what do you do to add? And I said it on Final Pitch last night after the 13-12 loss, there is no doubt the lineup has proven that they can compete, but you need more pitching. And the argument would be they could have added more pitching before the start of the year, and they didn't. And they stood pat, so to speak. And now you've got every contending club in the same boat by the end of July, looking for more starting pitching and more bullpen help. And the price is high. But you feel like if the Twins are going to be taken seriously come postseason time, they need to add. They need to add pitching. They need to add a frontline starter if they're going to get where they want to go in the postseason.
You're forgetting something, though, Steve.
Yeah.
There's two pieces to this puzzle. One you've clearly pointed out as far as needing pitching. Cleveland needs to start losing. they had a bit of a skid last week, but they've kind of picked up their pieces. And we've even seen the almighty New York Yankees just have an awful summer so far, at least in the last 10, 15 games.
They've finally hit a bump.
Yeah, they snapped their skid as well. But the one constant through just what's been a pretty solid year, like I honestly am surprised at how well this year has gone for the Twins, Cleveland just can't seem to lose. And unfortunately, when we have a chance to kind of take advantage of them losing a game, which happened a couple times this past week, we drop just these blunder games against teams like Detroit, where Cleveland's losing, but you need to capitalize that and actually beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And I know that's a theme with this team. It's a Minnesota Twins way of life to not beat the teams that, you know, you're not that you're supposed to beat. But yeah, there's two pieces to this. There's pitching, and there's Cleveland needs to somehow, some way, find a way to lose. If that means us taking them down in the upcoming, I don't even know what the schedule is. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm assuming we still have another series or two with them before the end of before this is all said and done. You need to win as many of those, if not all those, as possible.
Well, and what's so crazy about it, you make a great point. It seems as though the Twins have been in that 6-7 game out mode for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Go back 1 month, Thursday, June 6th, Cleveland led Kansas City by 4, and the Twins were 7.5 out. At the moment, they're 5.5 back. Twins won the ball game today, 9-3 over Houston, and Cleveland leading San Francisco 4-3 right now in the fifth. That game in Cleveland, and of course, the Twins will see the Giants in San Francisco in the final series next weekend before the All-Star break. But it does illustrate a point that the Twins have been, you know, in that 6-7 games out for a long time and can't gain ground. And the only thing you can do is keep winning ball games like you did today, and then go out tomorrow and win another series, and then go into Chicago, hopefully take care of business against a dreadful White Sox team, and then go into San Francisco and close it out against the Giants next weekend. And then it is the All-Star break, and then the Brewers here coming out of the break leading the NL Central Division. 12 minutes now in front of 5 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Awful news in the NFL. Awful news for the Minnesota Vikings. Overnight, early this morning, Vikings rookie cornerback Kyree Jackson was among three people killed in a car wreck. And we'll have more on that terrible story in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. We were greeted by terrible news this morning. Viking rookie cornerback Kyree Jackson died in a three-car wreck that killed two of his high school teammates early this morning in Maryland. He was 24 years old. Riding in a car just after 3 a.m. in the passenger seat, apparently got hit by a vehicle that was speeding and knocked the car that Kyree Jackson was riding in off the road, and he was declared dead at the scene. We visit with Dane Mizutani, who covers the Vikings for the Pioneer Press, before the ball game today, following the news and weather at noon. And it's just tragic. The Vikings have released statements. The investigation continues by the authorities in Maryland. But just an awful tragedy. In a few weeks, he was due to be here for the start of training camp at TCO Performance Center and begin his journey as a professional athlete. And this is a guy who really paid his dues on his way to being drafted into the NFL and have an opportunity to make the big bucks. A lot of community colleges, a lot of stops along the way, Alabama, then Oregon, and got his name on the map. And by all accounts, terrific young man, and gone way too soon. 24 years old. Because there was someone out of control on our roads. It's just hard to fathom. And you spend time on the roads as well here in the Twin Cities. And I know law enforcement is doing what they can, but there are way too many people who drive way too fast and way too recklessly. Wednesday night, for example, we drove down to St. Paul, went to Mancini's for my birthday. I'm not going to mention which one. Doesn't matter at this point. But on the way home, we took 94 from St. Paul over to Minneapolis, through the tunnel, and then took I-94 out of downtown, headed to the northern suburbs where I live. There was someone in a pickup truck who had to be driving 110 miles an hour on 94 between downtown and 694, weaving in and out of traffic. It was astonishing how fast this idiot was driving. Now, was this driver on something? Don't know. But the reckless behavior, whether it's impaired driving and speeders, another tragedy in Maryland, claims the life of Viking rookie cornerback Kyrie Jackson. We have more at our website, WCCRadio.com. Slow down, wear your seatbelts. Terrible news. We have the news and the weather coming up at 5 here on CCO.